Hello, guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Thing Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, this is a special episode. We have Amaury Batson and Richard Saki Addo from the Tennis Blacklist joining us today. How are you both doing?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having us. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, really good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining us on this fine afternoon / evening. Our listeners will be familiar with Amaury. Obviously, she's been on the pod with us a few times. I say a few times. I think your last appearance was maybe 2 years ago, Amaury. So it's been a while.
Okay.
So we do need to change that. But
she's been booked and busy though.
True.
She's been booked and busy.
But no, but
true.
You guys, you know, the minute you email me or message me, I'm there for you guys. You know that.
I like that. So yeah, we'll fix that definitely. But yeah, Richard, you're new, not only to us, but obviously to our listeners as well. So if you can maybe tell us a bit about yourself and like your background in tennis and like, yeah, how you kind of got into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try and be as quick as I can, not to take hog too much of the time. But yeah, I've pretty much been involved in tennis my whole life. So I started playing, as my family always reminds me, when I was about 2 years old, like a toddler. All I wanted to do was play football. But in those days, you know, the 90s, they didn't have little tennis tots and all those things for really little kids. So my parents took me to football. Over in West London, and they said, sorry, he's too small, we can't take him, but there's some tennis going on over there, maybe see if he'll be involved in that. And apparently, as I say, I was always reminded I hated it for months and months and months. It was just that kid at the court who just didn't want to engage. But over time, the coach I had at the time kind of got me involved, and you know, they saw I could hit a ball and, you know, started to enjoy it. And I've played ever since. I've always played at clubs. I play at a club to this day over in South Croydon. I started coaching when I was 15, so I coached for a few years, and then all my professional life working in tennis was first for the ITF in their development department, specifically in coach education, and then the last 6.5 years I've worked for the International Tennis Integrity Agency for their education team. So that's, and then now heading up the Tennis Blacklist with Amaury. So that's a real whistle stop tour through me in tennis.
Nice. How did you two like come together? Like, obviously you're working, well, you're both co-founders of the Black Tennis Blacklist. So like, yeah, how did the two of you come together?
One person, Leon Mann, MBE. I always have to now remember to add the MBE. He tells me off every time I say that, but it's true. I mean, he's earned the honour. Leon Mann, wasn't it really, Rich, that put us together? We'd had separate conversations, I think, because we were so inspired. Both of us were so inspired what was going on with the football blacklist. Yeah. And Leon is such a person with influence. He's got so much knowledge and experience. And I had vented several things about what was going on in the tennis world from my perspective. Rich had done the same. And I think he could see there was some synergy between us, and had suggested to Rich, actually, that the time was right now to have a tennis blacklist. Is that right, Rich? That's what, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That was it. Just tennis is ready for this. And here we are a year and a half later, about to have the second event, and yeah, enjoying every minute of it.
You say that, but you know, emails are flying around.
Hard work as well.
And we're both working as well. We've both got our respective careers, and Rich is extremely lucky to jet out of this country when the weather is miserable. Like, you'll be in Australia for the Australian Open when it's winter. And you know, we've had meetings when he's been in South America, haven't you, and stuff like that. And somehow we've managed to pull it together. But it was Leon Mann, actually, yeah, who put it. And we both went away and kind of said, can we do this? Because how was this going to be received? Are people going to like it? Are people going to turn up? And yeah, I think we were so blown away by the support last year. It made us think, actually, let's do one for year two.
Can you talk a bit about the football blacklist, actually? Because I've actually been to, I think I went to in 2019 or 2018. And yeah, it was like really impressed with like the kind of turnout and just how, yeah, well received it is, like in the football industry. Like, so yeah, if you can maybe talk a bit about like how, because obviously the Tennis Blacklist has been around, this is the second year. So yeah, the first year, like how was it received, and in terms of like just, was it kind of what you were expecting?
So I went when it was only probably about 100 people in the room. 8 or 9 years ago was my first one. And there was no media. There's people sitting around in a room, a makeshift stage. And then the last one I went to is actually pre-pandemic. Rich has been more recently than me because I've had other things going on. But, you know, there was hardly any, but, you know, guests were there. And it was friends of Leon, friends of Rodney Hines as well from The Voice, because they're the two co-founders. And then it's grown year on year, and it's grown organically as well. It hasn't been forced. I think word of mouth has been massively helpful to it. I think the profile of Leon and Rodney, the names that have been put forward for awards, I think has helped it as well. And also, I think when they got the buy-in from like broadcasters, that kind of elevated it even further. So to where you are, Rich, when you went, the last one you went, it was about 600 people there or something, wasn't it?
So I went to one of the regional ones, which I think is some of the development of the Football Blacklist over the years. But I think what really kind of inspired us, and you know, we obviously wanted to make it unique to tennis and celebrate our game. You know, we have different challenges and but also different role models to celebrate from different areas of the game in tennis, is that I think one of the key things is, you know, that we first thought about the various people we know in both our respective professional networks and personal networks in tennis. And it's like, okay, we actually know quite a few kind of black people in the sport doing very well. There's got to be tons more out there. And then last year, just seeing the room, you know, the amount of new faces, the amount of stories you're hearing, people, you know, the amazing work they're doing in different areas of the game. And it's amazing. That's what we want to do, is shine a light on these people doing an incredible work from the black community on and off the court. And of course, you know, you have humble starts as football had, and with rugby as well. They had their first event last year too. But we just want to keep improving the profile, showing off some more amazing stories, some more role models, and yeah, hopefully kind of snowball with the success that football have had.
And the thing we really want to do, we want to make it distinctive from the other two. We see, because Leon just gave us the name and run away with it. He has no say in it, no ownership, him and Rodney at all. It's literally, you can have the Tennis Blacklist and off you go. I think what's important to us is, you know, we've seen football grow from like 50 people when it first started to now 600 people attending. We want to keep ours small to a community, because we really believe in building the network and collaborations and things like that. And for that to work, you can't have like masses of people in one room. It's not going to work. So I think that will make us quite distinctive from the Football Blacklist. And we've got plans to develop the platform itself as well.
That's great. A little fun fact, Eugene actually started with football first in terms of like the whole aspect of tennis. Then started, I think, was it a year later with tennis?
About 2 years,
Two years later, yeah.
You're a late bloomer, Eugene. You're a late bloomer.
Yeah. Gap in the market for you.
No, I wasn't expecting that, Lucy.
He did look confused. He was like, where are you going with this?
But no, that's really cool. And like you said, I think with the Football Blacklist, it's shown over the years, it's like continue to develop and grow. And I think that's only going to be the case for the Tennis Blacklist as well. Yeah. Just in terms of like black involvement in tennis in the UK, like where, it's a pretty open-ended question, but like where would you say we're at, like in terms of, because obviously we focus on players and like celebrating players and coaches. But one thing I do like about what you guys have done and the awards, you guys awarded people in like governance.
And
like exactly the people that aren't really seen.
Yeah.
So, and it was enlightening for me as well, because some of those names I wasn't familiar with. I didn't really know who a lot of these people were. Like, so, and maybe you can speak on this, Richard, like in your role, like, are there a lot or are there any or many black, you know, people involved behind the scenes in tennis, like at the higher level?
In a short answer, no. I think that's kind of what one of the key things that brought Amri and I together is, you know, we both worked in tennis for a long time. You know, I've coming up to almost 10 years working in the sport internationally. And it's one of the common things, well, all of us working in tennis is, you know, you're looking around the room and, okay, just us then. And, you know, that constant sort of thing. And particularly coming from a coaching background initially, it was even more so that way. In terms of, you know, looking at the UK and what the landscape's looking like at the moment. There is data that the LTA do publish around, you know, where participation figures are, where the numbers of coaches are, and you know, data doesn't lie. There's, you know, a lot of underrepresentation in the coaching front, and the officials front, and the volunteers front. And as I said before, you know, we know great people out there doing such good stuff and can be role models and can try and, you know, lift them up on a pedestal for others to think, oh, actually, that's kind of cool. I'd like to get involved in that. Or yep. I didn't necessarily just play to a good standard, but I have skills to be able to do this or that in the game. And I think that's really important, as well as what you guys do as well, just shining a light on the top end of the game where everyone is looking and all of the amazing stories at the top of the tour. And I think, you know, we're blessed to have a generation of black players coming through now at the top of the tour, where it's probably some of the strongest that we've had for a long time. You know, you could disagree with me on that, but, you know, both women's and men's side, you know, some very strong players, some very good, you know, people becoming superstars, you know, shining a light on black involvement in tennis. And yeah, whatever we can do to support from other areas and people with other skills or interests, you know, to get them to get involved in our sport, that's what we're here to do.
Nice.
So it's a really good point you make about that we're looking not just at players and coaches, but outside of that as well. And I think Rich will agree with this. The thing that really blew us away was the one award, which is game changer in the community, of people that are doing regional community work, right? Mm. So that was our first one last year. The nominations that have come for this year, just read the people that have taken the time to fill in the form and tell the story about a particular person and what they've done in their region. You just think, my God, they're just, you know, unsung heroes. Some of them have given up their time to do X, Y, and Z. And what's really nice about Game Changers is that we're shaping it as a regional award. So we spoke to Tennis Scotland, we spoke to Tennis Wales, and obviously the LTA about making sure about getting the nominations out to the regions, because it's such a regionally focused award. And like you said, Eugene, we did not know these people exist. And I don't think we would have ever known they'd existed until we were in that room last year. And we could see, you know, Shola Roper was there and various others, and Dominic, and, you know, a couple of other names as well. And just when I was reading out their bios before they came up to get the awards, and just highlighting all this amazing work that they've done, and you kind of think, why have they not been elevated further? And maybe that's their choice, right? Because they might have other stuff going on. But such amazing work. And for the chance for them to come down to a place they probably may not have seen in their lifetime at all, because why would they be invited to the National Tennis Centre unless there's some event or something going on? Then it kind of validates them as well at the same time, if that makes sense.
I completely agree with you guys, especially that, you know, Eugene and I, we always say it when we go to Grand Slams, and also we're covering like media and stuff, and in media there's probably less than 5 black journalists. Like, if we see black people, they're either the fans or staff or something like that. Like, it's not like really, like, you don't have that representation out there. And it makes a difference as well. Like, you can literally see the players' faces completely change or feeling more comfortable simply because, you know, there's another person that looks like them that's right there. I'll never forget when we were at Eastbourne, and I think Eugene and I and Tamani, we were the only one in one row, and Serena was impressed with Ons Jabeur right after. And you could see Serena was like, whoa, like, you could see her face was like looking at our row, like, you know. But I'm hoping that there will be a time where that's not a shock. I'm hoping there's a time where it's going to be a norm, because at the end of the day, a sport that's so global should have all people in it, black, white, Latina, Arabs, you name it. So yeah, it's great to see. And regarding last year's like event, let's talk about like the success of that and how the LTA really helped with that as well.
Yeah, that was a really key thing, kind of a part of our strategy, if you like, for last year, was, you know, working with key partners, the LTA being one, and credit to them. They've been fantastic. They've understood and recognized every step of the journey. This is your thing. This is, you know, it's an independent initiative run by yourself and Anne-Marie. You know, we are here to support, which they have done brilliantly, and very gracious to host us at the National Tennis Centre the last couple of years. And, you know, we've been very clear since day one with everyone that, you know, we're not here to bash things that might have been done in the past or might not have been done. We're here to celebrate. We're here to move forwards. We're here to work collaboratively and look at organizations such as the LTA as almost like a critical friend, and that there's, you know, people within our networks that they don't know, don't hear about. There's people and organizations they work with that can, you know, benefit from, you know, maybe we recognize them in the future. And I think some quick success stories from last year. I mean, you guys will know, I hope it doesn't mind me shouting him out, but Aaron Akom, you know, just, you know, what yeah, a legend, what he's doing.
And it's
not just in his local community, and, you know, it's one of the game-changing community winners last year, but what he's doing for the game and really building a profile and giving back to the community with so much amazing work. And, you know, he was a runner-up for the LTA President's Award last year, and, you know, is constantly in those spaces where we're not traditionally sort of out being. So, you know, people such as him, two of our winners in the Coaching and Performance Award last year are now qualified LTA tutors as well. Wow. You know, stories such as that and people getting, you know, articles written about them. And that's what we want to do. That's exactly it, is, you know, collaborating for the greater good of the game and making sure people see our sport as, you know, something that's for them and all of us. You know, we all do work in tennis, and we're all kind of success stories, if you will, of people finding their way in the sport in a different place. And we want people to know the door is open, and we're trying to just push it slightly more wider so that everyone more can come in.
Mm-hmm. And, I like what you said, Richard, as well, about like the whole like not looking to bash, because that's something me and Lucy are very mindful of as well. Like, and hence why we kind of started the platform. We're looking to celebrate. So we're not looking to, like, you know, bad mouth or complain. Like, we've created a platform because we've seen a space that needed filling, and we mm-hmm. filled that space. And I feel like you guys have done the same thing. So yeah, credit to both of you.
Definitely.
And just looking ahead to, like, well, this year's event and future events, like, What are, like, some of the plans going forward? And, like, yeah, what can we look forward to for the Tennis Blacklist in 2024 and beyond?
Well, we are so excited to have an exclusive podcast partner. We're going to give you guys a shout out. I was waiting for a moment, and thank you, Eugene, because we are so excited this year. It's the first time we're going to do it, and I'm hopeful that we can continue it on. Subject to people's plans, of course, but obviously the Blackspin, you know, Blackspin Global podcast will be there on the night. Being our partner. We are so excited to have you guys on board. We were talking to you about the LTA today, because you had a meeting with them about a couple of things. We mentioned you guys, and it brought smiles to the face. So, you know, really, really exciting. So that's cool. And yeah, we've got we're in event mode, as Rich calls it now, of just getting down to it, the nitty gritty. The invitations have gone out. We know who the winners are now, and we've got a steering group, the Tennis Blacklist steering group, and shout out to them, because they've been absolutely amazing. They're kind of, because Rich and I are pretty much in a tunnel vision now until the 27th of June. And sometimes you just need people outside that going, well, have you thought of this? And are you going
to
do this?
They call us out, and they need to call us out.
Yeah, they do. And they will. So they've been great. So we've got our winners. We're going to announce those in the next few days, which is very exciting. Nice. And then post that, we are looking, our next, I think, big course of action will be for Black History Month. Already having a few discussions with a couple of people about some plans, what we want to do around that, and also something for the spring as well. So we're looking to do year-round stuff at key moments in the calendar, and then look to do year three of the Tennis Blacklist Award.
Yeah, I think it's really key that we wanted to keep this going year round and create a year round community. You know, we're unearthing all these people. We would love the idea of, you know, them helping to mentor others to get into to be content creators or podcasters or work in administration or be coaches. Let's learn from each other. You know, let's get a few tips. Let's get people connecting. Let's bring everyone together, as well as hearing from each other's experiences, and, you know, very much like I say, just keeping this going year round, culminating in a big celebration every year at the awards.
Love that. Absolutely love that. I think that's it, guys. Like, that's pretty much all we need. So thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, we can't wait to be at the awards this year. So we're very much looking forward to that. And, like, yeah, talking to all the winners and even the volunteers as well. Just, yeah, it's meeting you both in person, because I don't think we actually met. We've not met in person.
That's true.
I
mean, no, we haven't. Never know. Oh, like, wow.
No, we haven't.
That's when you judge like how tall people are when you
So no, I'm looking forward to it, man. And yeah, thanks for having us on board. Like, because like I said to you, Marie, as well, this is long overdue. Like, we were going to have you guys on the podcast at some point. So I'm glad we finally come together. And like I said, thanks for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.